Good morning. I'm going to be speaking today on a targeted approach to vaccinating school-aged children, how we selected schools for H1N1 school-located vaccination efforts. And I'm going to be speaking on behalf of my colleagues at the school H1N1 team at the immunization program, Drs. Kathleen Sanchez and Michelle Parra. I'm going to go over three objectives for today: to provide an overview of three collaborative outreach strategies used to vaccinate school-aged children, grades K through 12 in Los Angeles County; to describe three approaches to implementing H1N1 school-located vaccination clinics; interview the successes and lessons learned to improve upon future collaboration with SLV clinics. So just some information about K through 12 schools in Los Angeles County. We have 80 school districts in LA County. District sizes vary from less than 50 students to just about 700,000. We have over 2,100 schools, and these include public, private, parochial, and charter. And there are approximately 2 million 5 to 18-year-olds in LA County. There is some access to routine immunization services on campuses. They vary from some schools have school-based clinics, some schools have school nurses, and others are serviced by mobile units or traveling medical staff. This is a map of Los Angeles County and the 80 school district boundaries. We have two city health departments within the county of Los Angeles, and they're depicted in the blue. They're the cities of Long Beach and Pasadena, and because they have their own health departments, they are not serviced by our department, LA County Public Health. So the H1N1 vaccine ordering and allocation in LA County this year was through a mechanism that was designed by the California State Department of Public Health. They developed a website called calpanflu.org by which all providers had to sign up to order H1N1 vaccine. They had to register and have a physician license in order to get H1N1 vaccine. So this did limit which schools ordered vaccine. Most of them were our VFC providers who have a history with us already. And vaccine was allocated, as probably in all of your areas, from the CDC to the states, and then from the state, we in LA County Immunization Program allocated vaccine, and we created a tiered system based upon the limited vaccine available initially, where providers that would reach the targeted risk groups initially would get vaccine first. These are the pediatricians, family practice, and also the schools, school-based clinics, and mobile units serving schools were included in our first tier. So they were prioritized to receive vaccine. So here we had some strategies to get vaccine into children during this H1N1 season. The major push from the LA County Department of Public Health was holding points of dispensing, or pods, and these were mass vaccination clinics held in predetermined areas that were identified as being low access. These clinics were held from mid-October through December the 8th, 2009. 109 pods were held, and 65% of them were held in what we would term parent-friendly hours, where parents could take their children. Those were evening hours and weekend hours. And these were usually held in parks and community centers and that sort of thing. Children could also get vaccinated at their private providers through community-based organizations and at school-located vaccination clinics, which is what we're going to look at in detail here. In addition to the vaccination, though, the Department of Public Health also had a mass education campaign, and this came out of the spring outbreak, where we planned a large educational campaign to school administrators and over 3,000 school nurses and their partners were educated on proper coughing techniques and this sort of thing. We created a parent education packet and also a school toolkit where schools could customize paperwork to send home to parents about the flu, and if they did have a clinic at their school, they could also use this letter to customize it to announce the clinic. So we had multiple approaches to working with schools, and we're going to talk about our different approaches and phases, and these phases coincide with the amount of vaccine supply and also the Department of Public Health staffing available. Our first phase lasted from mid-October when we received H1N1 vaccine through the end of the year, and this was a time characterized by limited vaccine but very high demand. Then we went into our second phase, which started at the beginning of January, where we really wanted to have a targeted approach to finding schools in need. And this time is characterized by having ample vaccine, but we saw reduced interest in being vaccinated from schools. And then finally, phase three, which started the beginning of March, and we are still in this phase. This is a time where our Department of Public Health nursing staff could facilitate vaccination at schools, but we've seen limited interest. So I'll start with phase one, and we have three different models that went on in phase one, and this is our time in October when we first got vaccine. Since the Department of Public Health staff was primarily busy working on those pods, we had to, this was affecting schools who really had to be on their own. These were the schools who ordered vaccine for themselves. They had to prepare all the forms, which we did give them templates for, promote their own event, set up their event. Their own nurses would do all the vaccinating and provide the vaccine. We at the immunization program could provide any technical assistance. But because this was so based on schools, they had to be independent. These were certainly the schools with the infrastructure and experience for handling these clinics on their own. And they did whatever they wanted to in terms of holding a clinic during their school day or after the school day. Some went school to school and others held large events at their district offices. In our second model, this is where we had schools partnering with a mass vaccinator. The Department of Public Health was able to contract with a mass vaccinator to assist schools if they did not have enough staffing to hold a mass clinic. We did offer this option up to all the schools who ordered vaccine, and we did only have one district take us up on the offer. In this model, schools did prepare and copy and plan events, and the mass vaccinator could supplement nursing staffing. Here are some snapshots of a school mass vaccinator clinic that occurred in a school auditorium. In the large photo, you'll see the vaccination area set up near the stage, and a nice barrier was put up so students could get vaccinated without everybody watching them. And there was a nice little sign that the students created, H1N1 clinic, advertising it at the school. And then it takes us to model three. This is where we had the school partner with mobile van units. And again, as with the mass vaccinator, the school had to do most of the work and the prep, and the mobile van would provide the vaccine and obviously be the vaccinator. And we saw this with existing relationships already. Schools that already worked with mobile vans were primarily using this option. This is again the map of LA County showing our 80 school districts, and in yellow are the 19 school districts that participated in some form of model in phase one. They either worked with the mass vaccinator, worked with a mobile unit, or had their own activities. And you might notice the northern part of the county there does not have quite as much of a reach. This is an area of much lower density than the rest of the county. Then we go into phase two, and this was in January when students started coming back to school. And we really wanted to take a more targeted approach to look at schools who are really in need. So we developed an algorithm to identify schools' need. We took 5 data points were used to create an algorithm that would identify schools with limited access to H1N1 vaccine by their zip code. We included real-time data on vaccine allocation to our external partners and on doses administered during the pods. And a zip code was chosen as having a school in need if it met 3 or more of the following criteria. If the zip code was identified as an immunization program pocket of need, and pocket of need is an algorithm that had developed previously in LA County to identify zip codes that had low coverage rates. Also, if less than 50% of doses allocated in that zip code went to providers not serving healthy children, so these could be hospitals or OBGYNs. If the zip code had been allocated less than 1,000 doses to date, they were also included. If the zip code had 3 or more schools with 50% or more of its students on the free or reduced lunch program. And finally, if a pod was not held in that zip code. So by using this algorithm, we identified 102 schools in 24 zip codes that we thought could be targeted for further H1N1 activity. So again, as I said, this is phase two, and it's January, and kids are coming back to school, and we saw interest in H1N1 diminishing despite our suggestion to target a bunch of schools in particular. We saw only 2 school districts placing additional orders for H1N1 vaccine. Schools we spoke with said they would use up the supply they had, but they were not interested in doing any additional vaccinating. One school district that did try and focus on our targeted areas used the mass vaccinator and found that they often had a much lower turnout than they had previously. This large school district had multiple vaccination clinics during the month of February, and they had about 13% of students getting vaccinated. That's an average at the schools, whereas previously in November, they saw closer to 30% of their students getting vaccinated. Also at this time, our Department of Public Health staff were more available. They had been busy working on the pods, and so they started calling their school contacts that they often work with during the flu season to start arranging clinics. And that takes us to phase three. which started kind of officially the 1st of March when our director of public health sent out a letter to all school principals, school nurses, administrators in LA County. So all schools received a memo stating that Department of Public Health would offer free on-site vaccination clinics to any school that wanted it. The school would provide the space and the security and would promote the event, and LA County Department of Public Health would provide all the paperwork needed, the consents, the VISs. We'd bring the vaccine and the vaccinators, and we'd potentially work with the mass vacciner if that was needed. The first week, we had a pretty good response. Immediately, 20, 25 schools called, and to date, 35 schools have had clinics held on site, and there are still clinics scheduled through the end of April. So how did we do in vaccinating through these various sites? These are doses administered for 5 to 18-year-olds. At the pods, which again ran from October to December, 52,841 5 to 18-year-olds were vaccinated. Through our external partners, and these are providers who were in our tier one to priority receive vaccine, over 167,000 5 to 18-year-olds were vaccinated. And at our schools, more than 100,000. And the schools, these are really events that we facilitated or we found out about directly. And all of these data are preliminary. We've had some challenges getting all the data reported, and I'll go into that a little bit more in our lessons learned. definitely, I think we learned the importance of having good relationships with our schools and having school buy-in. Many schools were open to having vaccination clinics on site, and so we definitely need to keep our relationships good between departments of public health and schools, especially as we see fewer and fewer school nurses and fewer medical staff. We also need to have good school buy-in. Even though we may have had medical and nursing staff who are interested in holding a clinic, we also need to make sure their principals and their administrators were interested, because it does disrupt the school day if they were going to have a clinic on site. They did need to get parent volunteers and other school staff to kind of help out and make sure students went back to class on time, give them hall passes. And we learned that really for the school, their main responsibility is, of course, educating and keeping students safe during the day. So we need to remember that as we work with them. Also, this is related to the understanding level of school capacity. The school is organized enough to handle a clinic. One school district we worked with was picking schools, not primarily, but partially based on a school that they knew that could handle a clinic for the day. And so maybe we didn't go into some of the target areas we wanted to because those schools, unfortunately, couldn't handle, didn't have the capacity. Also, we need to remember the impact of the school holiday calendar. Right around Thanksgiving, we felt like we were getting a little more vaccine in, but we were all kind of closing up shop for that long weekend. And upon coming back from Thanksgiving, winter break was coming upon us very quickly, and we wanted to make sure we can get vaccine to schools soon enough so they could hold any clinics they wanted to before the school break. But also, we didn't want them to get so much vaccine that it was going to sit in the refrigerators during their break. Also, there is the issue of the consent process. We learned through these events and other events that we were parts of during seasonal flu clinics that clinics that sent consents home and pre-consented were more well attended than ones where parents brought their children. But that was a lot more legwork for the schools, and also it was sometimes difficult to provide all of that paperwork. As Jane pointed out, there are consents that were scannable, we had VISs, and we had multiple languages, and this created a burden on some schools to create all of these copies, and that became an issue. Also, organized and standardized data collection. It would be very helpful if this was more standardized. The data we showed here were reported from both the California Immunization Registry and calpanflu.org. That was that ordering website. And providers in California were asked to report their doses administered either back on CalPanFlu, or if they already used the registry, to just enter them all in the registry. And what we learned from speaking with the schools is that some schools did not report in either place, and some reported in both places, and some are still not done yet, and they promise they'll get it done soon. So that's why we still have quite a bit of data to look at. And finally, our mass vaccinators. We did have this resource available, but it's important to know the limitations of the mass vaccinators and to know exactly what their scope of work is. We only had one district take us up on our offer to use this resource, and we found that some schools were not comfortable having vaccinators on campus who are not either from the county or from their own district. And I know we're going to hold questions. So thank you.